We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, and all the boys are back in town. Good morning, Brian.
What up, brother? What's happening, Mitch?
Not much, man. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. I am here. Shout out to Metropolitan Moving and Storage, wearing the quarter zip they gave me. I love this quarter zip. It's very comfortable. If you're watching on the stream, you can see it. Bang. Everybody's here. Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, White Brian. Good morning, Lambphill. Feels good to see everybody.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, this is, I mean, Brian's clearly excited to see everybody. This is about as slow of a week as slow weeks get.
The NBA changed that yesterday, dog.
Yeah, a lot
of happened.
The NBA
said, hell, it's slow. We're going to make somebody a $70 million man.
Right, but if you notice with the NBA, it used to be, and maybe this is kind of, teams have gotten smarter, because I feel like we see it in the NFL, too.
Mm-hmm.
Free agency is a lot less of a thing now. I think way more teams
are not paying attention yesterday. Dude, they would have people. There's a movement going on yesterday.
Sure, but, like, there's no mega name hitting free agency anymore. Miles Turner's probably the biggest name.
I mean, but I don't even think he's made it, like, an all-star. The way that they got it set up in the NBA, you know, signing Shea to that deal, that's why they don't go to free agency.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, if you make first team all pro, second and the third team all pro, you're getting paid.
Right.
You don't have to move.
Right. There was a time, though, where guys were moving all. I mean, LeBron famously
but
took his talents
numbers,
to South Beach.
The numbers that are coming out were astronomical. And I believe, hell, LeBron about to move again, I believe.
Did you really?
Hell yeah. He didn't do that deal to say he's staying there. He did that deal so they can move him.
You think so? Gosh, that guy just loves himself. I don't know the right way to describe it, but hey, like,
got a little T.O. in him. He good.
Does have a little T.O. in him. I wonder if we can get odds on LeBron moving. So we're all kind of in the same boat today. The Nats are supposed to, so the Nats game got canceled last night. Did you get hit with that rain at all?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a game you had to cancel.
On my way home yesterday, I was like, okay, then. This is, you see, it was getting dark. And I'm like, listen, if it gets dark, then it just lighten up. And I'm gonna be pissed off. I was supposed to have a good golf match yesterday. All of a sudden, sky opened up. No golf. But then, what, 15, 20 minutes later, it was like, oh, bam, it's gone now. But then it came back a little bit later. But then as the night went on, it just had this little light drizzle the whole night. Stayed around. That little annoying drizzle.
So for me, because I just never stopped driving anymore, I drove from Richmond to Fairfax to pick up my car. Shout out to Orsman Fairfax Toyota. And then I had to drive home Fairfax to Bethesda. And you can only imagine how much fun the Beltway was with the storms and Tysons and the construction. I ended up cutting through McLean. Shout out to Dead Run Drive. So the girls were supposed to have a swim meet last night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one that got canceled a couple weeks ago for rain. Right. So they, according to my swimming insider, who is my wife, they really had to get this one in for, like, the official, you know, record book on the season.
Is there indoor pool out there at all?
There is, but it's way too small. Oh. You know, the indoor pool out
that's
there.
That's the next thing they build. They always build onto that clubhouse. Build a big-ass indoor pool.
Can I tell you what I prefer? Let's just chill with building new stuff. Let's just relax.
That's not going to happen, Jay. Listen, they've been building on that thing since I got here. They're going to always add something new.
Dude, next time you're over there, I'll show you the indoor pool. So that building was built in 1924, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the indoor pool is original.
Okay, well, they need to move that. They need to change that.
Like, B, if you can imagine, like, if Great Gatsby's house had an indoor pool, that's what it is. Like, mm-hmm. it's ornate, but it's just very old. I think there's, like, grandfather clauses. I don't know. But so then we're waiting.
If you had an indoor pool, you wouldn't have to worry about the rain.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm just saying.
So then there was no swim meet. So we went out to dinner, and I said to my wife, I was like, you want to drive? Like, I've been in a car since Friday. She was like, no. So then I got to drive us to dinner. But it was a nice time. I had a dude come up to me, say he loved the show. Said, you and B. Mitch are the best. So shout out to that dude.
I tell you, boy. All these people keep coming up to us. I tell you.
Obviously, a lot of movement yesterday in the NBA, in the NHL. There's also a lot of talk about the Commanders Stadium as it just kind of keeps continuing here.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get any feedback? Anybody reach out to you yesterday at all?
Mm-mm.
I would say the same thing. I think the mayor is concerned, but I think it's more, I think folks got to really understand how much the Harris ownership group is trying to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a dude in my mentions last night kind of hitting me and telling me, you know, the problem is the folks that the council members that aren't into the deal as currently constituted don't think the city is in line to get enough of the cash, whether it's parking or the bars in there or the whatever, right? They think the city should be getting a bigger cut.
Let me ask you a question. What cut are they getting right now? See, that's the thing. I'm baffled by people that something has been sitting there for well over 30 years, and you haven't been getting a damn thing from it.
Right.
Now you're going to dictate how much you – I think anything is better than zero for a city that needs money. How about get stuff going and begin to do that? Don't shut it down before it starts, because guess what? The next person don't want to come do anything either.
I understand that maybe you want a better deal, right? Like, I think everybody always wants more money, more advantages, whatever it is, right? Like, I get that. That's human nature. But I think you got to also, what's the old phrase? Like a bird in hand versus two in the bush. Sometimes mm-hmm. take the bird in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I don't know, Brian. Like, I gave the hypothetical example yesterday, right? Like, American University decides they want to build a hospital, build a medical school, and they want to do it at the RFK site. Like, okay, that's a viable, legitimate investment that will create jobs and mm-hmm. and be a boom for the area.
Yeah.
I don't think it would create the same that a new stadium would, but like if that offer was on the table for that land, okay, yeah. I can wrap my brain around that.
Yeah.
I don't think that offer's out there.
See, that's the thing.
These dudes have billions of dollars.
This is a typical Vinny Dan trying to get Albert Hainsworth here deal. They're negotiating against themselves. So the council right now is saying, oh, we want more, but you don't have nothing else that wants to go there. So, and let's be real. If it were, we would be hearing about it. We damn sure would be hearing about it. We haven't heard one thing about anything else trying to go there.
Dude, like if Bezos was just coming to town to rebuild, you know, whatever it is, HQ2,
mm-hmm.
okay, then you got something else that's viable. It doesn't seem like there's anything else viable.
Yeah.
And so I feel like we're just, I don't know.
Sometimes people want to argue against stuff just to argue against it, and they have nothing else in mind, nothing else in the plans. And that's when I believe that you're not working for the constituents, you're working for you and your pride, okay, to be able to say, look what I did. But you better be able to build something, because ultimately people are going to want to know what the hell is going there then.
Right.
Because right now for over 30 years it's been an eyesore. It's even more of an eyesore now. The more rust gets onto it, it's an eyesore.
Totally.
What are you going to do about it?
So one thing that did catch my ear last night. So got the kids to bed. I sit down in the chair trying to, you know.
Hey, Martin, grab my ears.
I turn the TV on. and it was on ESPN, and they were doing like a free agency thing. I had never heard of this. Basketball players are now getting turf toe.
But they are now getting, they've been getting turf toe. That's not new.
You're not playing on turf.
Dude, people don't have to play on turf to get turf toe. Turf toe happens on grass. What you talking about?
Right, but how does it happen on a basketball court?
It's the same thing. It's the ligament getting inflamed, no matter if it's a basketball court.
So explain it. I don't know. I heard it, so Jaren Jackson.
It can happen to hockey players on ice.
What is it?
Turf toe is inflamed, that ligament or whatever, the joint gets inflamed.
Where?
Like in your toe, your big that big-ass toe.
On the big toe?
Yeah, normally it's the big toe. So you can get it anywhere. If you jam it.
You ever have
strain
it?
Strain it? No. Well, yeah, maybe a little, but I never had nothing that kept me out of a game. Then again, I'm crazy, so I'm different.
So here's what, now obviously.
What is the name of it? I know the name of it, people go turf toe, and you brought it to the radio too. You don't play on turf. You can get turf toe anywhere, dog.
Clearly.
It's people that don't play sports that get turf toe.
They maybe Jeff around. Has it. Jeff, you ever had turf toe?
No.
Okay, good.
But I know some people
keep
who
keep it
have.
Clean. Keep it clean, Jeff.
Yeah, carpet toe.
So, a lot of people.
Man, I had carpet burn on my knees before with the legs. Say, now.
Lord, ever.
Yo, that didn't.
YouTube, boy.
I sound like I think you wanted it to sound. Yeah. Like, it why did, are you on your did. Knees, dog?
That's why I said with the ladies.
Okay.
Still.
Hey, man, you do you, buddy. So, what is? Are you still Raleigh bound? What's your plan?
Yeah.
When are you guys heading out this afternoon?
Yeah.
All right, will you take one car or what?
Yeah.
So what about when you inevitably want to go play golf?
There's two cars at my daughter's house, and my son has a car too.
That's right. Where you stay with Bria? Who do you stay with?
Yeah, I probably stay with Bria's house.
Okay. How long are you coming back? Sunday? When are you coming back?
I'll be back here for Monday.
I will not. I will not, sir. I think it's going to be – so, dude, here's my point about the NBA. Obviously, SGA getting paid is the headline. I mean, 70 – dude, they were saying last night, by the second or third year of that contract, he's going to make more per game. He's going to make more than $1 million per game.
He'll be making $1 million per game or more, yeah.
I think by the third year.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Hell yeah.
And like
that's one thing about sports. All these owners that always talk about how poor they are, you know, that if you're paying people this type of deal, you're not poor. You're making money. You're just lying.
I agree. So, this is from ESPN. Kevin Pelton. Obviously, the biggest news is the SGA extension.
Uh-huh.
But of the actual dudes that are hitting free agency, so Miles Turner, I think, is... So, in this ESPN article, they wrote proven starter in his prime. I think that's pretty fair to describe Turner. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a star player or anything. Do you know, like, the next best?
He was exceptional down the stretch in the regular season. Played great early in the playoffs, and he didn't play very well down the finals.
And he got paid.
Yeah, he could play, though.
He could play. Yeah. But he's not like an all-star. Like, he's not if you're putting the NBA into tiers, he's a second or third tier player.
He's a second tier guy, yeah. But he's on his way. He's not completely there, but I think the thing about it is we always discuss stars. You don't just win with the star.
I agree with that.
You got to win with those other guys too.
NBA free agency used to be these guys going all over and it was crazy. Do you know this is according to ESPN. The top free agent listed on this ESPN list, Josh Giddey.
Okay.
Quentin Grimes.
But see, but Jay, LeBron, when he went and then you started getting guys following that suit, even prior to LeBron, guys didn't move a lot. They grandfathered people in and allowed them to pay the stars more money to keep them in those areas. That's been going on for years.
One thing I'm in, what's What's Julius Randle going to do?
I think Julius Randle went back.
He re-signed with Minnesota?
I thought he did.
He's an interesting cat. And what's up with Karl Anthony Towns? Is he still under contract with the Knicks?
Don't know.
Bodega Cat? I like that nickname. I don't know, man. The NBA used to have like this incredible offseason that you just were glued to, and it just feels a little more subdued because of the nature of the contracts. The biggest stars are going to stay where they are and sign those Supermen.
If you really,
you'd be crazy not to
if
sign
you really
Superman.
Think about it, the biggest stars basically stayed until LeBron left. And then you started seeing people trying to join up with the three people on the teams. Prior to that, you didn't have that. And then after LeBron, KD moved, Kawhi bounced around, Paul George jumped, and James Harden. Same people were moving all the time. Other guys were signing right back to their teams.
Yeah. I mean, have the Wizards done anything? Have they made a roster move?
They drafted two people.
Three
people.
Wizards news. It's probably going to be about like Harry Potter. All right, Bullets Forever, 2 hours ago. Let's see what you got here.
I think the Wizards are going to do what they're doing until after that. We talked to Chase was yesterday.
Yeah.
After that last first-round pick that they have to be, the one that's protected, after they can keep that in their hands, then they'll start doing stuff. They're not trying to be very, very great next year.
So, according to Bullets Forever, shout out to Albert Lee, wrote this article. Malcolm Brogdon is a free agent who could be talking with the Kings. According to Albert Lee, he doesn't think Brogdon's coming back. Tristan Vucevic, who I like. I thought he was pretty good down the stretch. They gave him a two-way qualifying offer, so I guess he's a RFA. So that sounds like they could keep him. And then the other dude is JT Thor. I think Jeff predicted him to be a Supermax player. Unclear if he'll be back. Chris Middleton, it sounds like they're going to keep. That seems like it for your Wizards free agency update. Obviously, what they're trying to do, what they're trying to build, there's not a lot of focus on right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I wanted to do this. I met a young man the other night named Jack Smith. He does play-by-play for the Fredericksburg Nationals. This dude is crazy impressive.
A Fret Nets.
Like, I wish I could buy stock in a person's career, because this dude will be calling, I don't know what, maybe he's a baseball guy, whatever sport he really wants to go after. B, when you hear this kid, you're not going to believe he's 21 or whatever. Jack Smith will join us next. Our guy Neil Greenberg is going to join us at 11. The current plan is for the Nats to play baseball at 1 o'clock. If that happens, we go. We'll keep you updated on the current plans. Nobody go anywhere. This is B. Mitch and Finley.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Got Nats baseball coming up just a couple hours if it all goes down, man. Joining us right now, though, I'm really excited to get this dude on the phone, Jack Smith. Jack does play-by-play for the Fredericksburg Nationals. You can follow him at JackSmithPXP. Jack joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Jack just graduated from University of Southern California and was named the Jim Nance College Broadcaster of the Year. I got to listen to Jack speak Monday night, and I was blown away. Jack, what's up, dude? Thanks for making time.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me.
So tell B a little bit about what you did at USC and how you got this award.
Well, first of all, I think DC needs to know you won the DC Sportscaster of the Year.
Yeah,
about a round of
old
applause
news.
To you. Congratulations.
We're good. Yeah, thanks, dude.
He like to downplay all that stuff, Jack. I don't know. I don't understand this dude. He works his ass off, then he gets up and he want to act like it never happened.
Let's talk about you, Jack.
Jack, put him on Front Street.
yeah, you know, at USC, obviously, we've got some great athletics, but, you know, there's a handful of people there as well that want to be broadcasters and call the games that those guys play. And that was me growing up, and that was me at USC, and really fun to be able to call some really big sports there. And just kind of for 4 years work at that, you know, you go to practice, you go to games, you call them as many as you can.
So were you calling
then,
football?
You know, at the end of the year to... Yeah, yeah. So football, baseball, basketball. Obviously, we had pretty blessed to have Caleb Williams and Juju Watkins run there in my 4 years. But, yeah, so pretty much all sports. And the recognition was cool, but just feel great to have gotten that experience and, you know, jump into the minor league world and be here in Fredericksburg.
That's very cool. So what is what's it like? Do they call the Frederick – or is that the PNATs? Do I have that right?
So it was. The team used to be in Potomac, so that's probably why you think that. So they used to be in Potomac as the Potomac Nationals. The Silber family, who owned the team, moved them to Fredericksburg to be ready for 2020. Obviously, that season didn't end up happening. So since 2021, they've been playing here in Fredericksburg. So it's the Frednats, not the PNATs. But they are the same team, just in 2021 changed names, yeah.
Okay, got it. So who... How does it work in the minors? Do you go on the road with them? Are you just on the bus with them? Like, how does that all shake out?
Yeah, we go on the road. So me and my other broadcast partner, we go on the road as well. The team's in Delmarva right now. I'm back here at home as we ready up. We're back home again for July 4th, so it's a little bit of a split week. But most minor league broadcasters take the bus. We drive just to be able to have some flexibility in whatever city we're in. But, yeah, it's a 132-game season. Team goes on the road. They play at home. Instead of like the major leagues where it's 3 or 4 game series, in the minors it's a 6 game series. So you're in one city for Damn. 6 of the 7 days of the week, Tuesday through Sunday, and then Monday is an off day for everybody here at the single A level. So most of the time you alternate between 6 home games to 6 road games. Sometimes you'll have 2 homestands in a row, 2 road trips in a row. But yeah, they're long series, but they're fun, and there's a lot of good players in this league.
Well, Jack, what I'm hearing is that you have to put in a lot of work, but it's rewarding at the end, right? So anybody like younger than you or probably your age that all of a sudden see somebody on TV, see a J.P. Finley win the D.C. Sports Council of the Year, and they go, oh, man, I want to do that. That seems fun. Is it just fun or is work goes into it?
Oh, I mean, I think work goes into anything fun.
Yeah.
You know, obviously.
But people don't think that, though. They just think you just show up there.
Dude, I get a million emails like, how can I get your job? Like, well, I worked middle of the night for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, obviously, especially at the minor league level, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. But, and again, any job that's fun or any job that's worthwhile, it takes work to not only get there, but you got to do work while you're doing it to stay good at it and to do a good job at something. But it's really fun. And, you know, some of the work that we do here is just kind of helping media relations, but also making it a good experience for people in the ballpark. We have a really nice stadium that's built in 2019, so it's super new. It's one of the best in minor league baseball. And so, you know, doing some stuff for the video board or for the stream for people to watch around as they walk around the ballpark. It's obviously it's hard work, but it's, I find, pretty rewarding.
Well, talking with our friend Jack Smith here, play-by-play for the Fredericksburg Nationals, just won the Jim Nance College Broadcaster of the Year Award for his work at Southern Cal for the Trojans. Jim Nance filmed a video for him that I got to watch. And I don't know. It sure looked like Jim Nance was sitting in Augusta when he filmed this, or he might have recreated Augusta in his backyard. But wherever Nance was looked very pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
So
I will see Jack doing that one day.
Dude, I think I'm telling you, this kid was so impressive. How old are you, dude?
21.
Yeah. All right. What do you want to do? Baseball, football, whatever comes your way? Like, is there a desire?
Yeah, I mean, I think any broadcaster that, you know, will say they want to do anything that comes their way, and I'm definitely like that as well. I'm not going to say no to something cool, but my number one dream's always been baseball, and that's the sport that I grew up playing. It's my favorite one. And so I think dream job is, you know, something like some of the Bob Carpenters of the world do, or Dave Jagler or Charlie Slows, you know, doing play-by-play at the major league level, whether that's radio or TV, always been a dream of mine. And that's why, you know, the minor league grind sometimes is not what people want to do. And for me, it's totally worth it just because being able to show up at a baseball game every day and call play-by-play for a couple innings and bring the game to the fans, that's just that's the number one dream for me. And I have so much fun doing it. And our fans are great. And they tune into the broadcast and they listen. And it's really, really cool. But that's always been the dream for me.
What's been your biggest game or biggest play called so far?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, growing up a USC fan, the one that felt maybe the biggest to me was USC-UCLA football this year. That was in the Rose Bowl. You know, there's a lot of good USC-UCLA games I got to do. The women's basketball this year, USC was the number 2 team in the country. UCLA was the number 1. They were undefeated. And then Juju Watkins dropped like 50 points, beat UCLA, and then USC had, you know, was the first team to beat UCLA. That was a big game. Some football ones this year, it was really cool to see USC go to Michigan. That was the first Big Ten game for them. That was in the Big House, which was the biggest crowd Michigan had ever had. JP will like this one. Maryland beating USC this year. That was not a big game. That one sucked.
I thought it was great. I loved
I'm sure
that
you
one.
Did. Yeah, that was like the our third road game in a row where the opposing team stormed the field after they beat us. So the storming of
hey man, just let us live, dude. We beat USC. Doesn't matter if it's a down year. All right, so Jack, here's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna put you on the spot here.
Okay.
This is obviously a hypothetical because neither of these teams are gonna sniff this. Game 5 NLDS. Skeens is on the mound. James Wood is at the plate. 3-run bomb. I need you to call it for me.
Oh, I don't know if I can do that.
I think you can.
You're putting me on the spot.
I sure am.
All right. I'm going to try. This is, I will tell you, like inside the mind of a play-by-play broadcaster, that is one of the hardest things to do is to call a play that's not happening.
Really? Well,
yeah.
Sorry. Still have to try.
I say the same thing all the time,
it's just
man.
Like, it's so much of a reactionary business to see something happening and describe it as you see it. So I need, you know, you want to give me a little more detail. Where's this ball landing? Where are we at?
It's landing we're
deep
NAS
center.
Park.
He hits the middle NAS of the curly
park.
W.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a home game. Walk
into
off.
The curly W.
Yeah.
Well, oh, a walk off. All right.
Yeah. What the hell?
I'm gonna dramatize it a little bit.
Yeah.
And Skeen sets from the belt. Here he comes. Wood cracks it in the air. High in deep center field. Way back. Off the curly W. And the Nats walk it off in game 5.
I like that.
I love it, dude. I love it. I got goosebumps, man. All right, I'm doing another one, and I apologize if this is annoying.
Oh, boy.
But, dude, this is July 2nd content, Jack. You got to understand where we are.
I gotcha.
All right.
Hey, Jack, we talk about this 25 years from now.
I know, dude.
Look, Terry Crews drew a picture for me. He was 27 years old.
Unbelievable.
And I sent it to him yesterday.
Story.
Put it on there, and he was now in his 50s, so it's the beginning.
dude, when Jack's calling Dodger games every night, like, we're going to joke about this.
Yes.
Let me pump the brakes on Dodgers a little bit. I, you know, grew up in the Bay Area, so.
You're a Giants fan.
But the Dodgers are going to call you and offer you $45 million a year. Come on.
I think he'd take the Dodgers.
Yeah, maybe you can't turn that down.
All right, last one, Jack. We're going to football.
All right.
Week 8, Monday night, Arrowhead, Jaden Daniels at the Kansas City 32, down 4, finds McLaurin back of the end zone.
For a TD, baby.
For a touchdown, 8 seconds left.
Okay. What down and distance do we got? Not that it matters with 8 seconds left.
And 13.
All right. 2nd and 13 at the Kansas City 32-yard line. Clock winding down for the Commanders. 8 seconds left for Daniels and company. He's in the shotgun. He looks left as he directs McLaurin in motion to the right. Daniels takes the snap. It's a 5-step drop. Pressure in his face. He rolls out to the right. Looks for McLaurin deep. Tosses it back left pylon. He makes the catch. Touchdown, Commanders. Terry McLaurin in the back of the end zone gives Washington the lead at Arrowhead.
That money they gave him in offseason was necessary.
Dude, that is so good.
Hey, I try.
Dude.
You do a good job,
especially,
man.
We just threw that at you. Maybe we keep doing this. We'll have you on throughout the summer
until
football starts.
Hey, ask him how much he's paying.
Yeah, I might need a couple dollars for the next one.
All right, we'll see what we can work out. Where are you going? Delmarva? Go to Starboard. We'll have Monty buy you dinner, all right?
No, they get more than dinner. You go to Monty.
That's true. Jack, man, this Monty is great.
He'd be throwing orange crushes at you all day.
Yo, you can't get 2 feet without a fresh orange crush in your hand.
You guys ever been to a minor league baseball game?
Yeah,
I have.
Yeah, I have.
We got to get you out to a Fredericksburg game.
I went to what team in Richmond? Is it Squirrels?
Squirrels, yeah.
Yeah, I've been to their games.
Flying Squirrels.
Yep.
Back when
their GM is my guy. He got a bar in his office. It's so sweet.
You guys got to get out to a Fredericksburg game. I mean, if you look up and down the Nats roster right now, at least the Major League roster, you're looking at guys like James Wood, C.J. Abrams, Dalen Lyle. Like, a lot of these guys played in Fredericksburg just a couple of years ago, so...
What time are those games?
We might need an air. Like,
what time are the games
normally?
Because you got to leave a certain amount of time to go to something in Fredericksburg.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you. Maybe a day off. If it's weekdays, they're normally 6:35. Weekends 7:05. But
okay.
You know, tons of top prospects on the team. I don't know if you guys know heard the name Travis Cora.
Yeah.
He's the number one Nats prospect. He keeps shooting up the system. I think he's the 30th overall in Major League Baseball right now. You know, he spent the entire last season here and won our league's pitcher of the year. So, you know, whether it's you guys or anybody else, you have a pretty good chance to see the future of the Nats. And a lot of the present Nats are guys that came through Fredericksburg. So that's one of my favorite things about the minor leagues, is just seeing all of these guys that, you know, they're the future. And a lot of the guys that were the future a couple of years ago are now the present.
Totally, man. But many years ago, before I was married and had children and stuff, I went and watched Strasburg in Harrisburg.
Mm.
And just electric. I went and watched Bryce and Bowie. It was fun, man. Jack, thank you for the time, brother. Really appreciate it, Jack.
Good luck to you, man.
Stay in touch, all right?
Yes, sir. Of course, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, brother. Take care, man.
Give him a follow at JackSmithPXP. All right, I'm about to give away some Adam Sandler tickets, so buckle up. Wow, 67 days till Commanders football. 16 days till rookies report. I just got an interesting email. I'll try to credit whoever sent me this. Shout out to Bet Online, Jimmy Shapiro. So Bet Online has put together odds for a Super Bowl winner and regular season MVP. Ravens and Lamar are tops with the Bills and Josh Allen at 20-1. Then the Chiefs and Mahomes at 33-1. And then the Commanders, Eagles and Bengals are all tied at 66-1. Now, obviously, those odds are really high, but that means Washington is tied for the third highest odds with the defending Super Bowl champ. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about, but I also think it's kind of crazy that you get 33-1 with Mahomes and the Chiefs, or really even 66-1. With the Eagles and Hurts. So, B, listen to this. Mm-hmm. Combined odds of a team winning the Super Bowl and having the regular season MVP. So, the Ravens with Lamar and the Bills with Josh Allen are tops at 20-1. Then KC and Mahomes at 33-1. And then the Commanders are one of three teams at 66-1. Mm-hmm. The Bengals and Burrow, the Eagles and Hurts, Washington and Jaden.
Wow.
Right?
I'll take put my money on those guys, all those guys at the 66-1, because I think that you got way better chance of that than the other one.
I mean, dude, if you were just going to sprinkle the board and you threw $20 on Jaden, Jalen, Burrow, and Mahomes, like, really, your only concern is another MVP for Allen or Lamar, or if a guy like Goff or Herbert or something goes nuts.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? This is really interesting. There are two running backs that made the list. The Ravens with Derrick Henry at 200-1 and the Eagles and Saquon at 200-1.
Well, I would not go with that because we know running backs don't get it.
If Saquon didn't get it last year, no running back's ever getting it.
Unless you have 3,000 yard rushing.
Here's something you might enjoy, Brian. There are two running backs with better odds than the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. They got the Cowboys and Dak at 300-1. Same as the Cardinals and Kyler, the Bears and Caleb, the Broncos and Bo Nix, the Rams and Stafford, the Niners and Purdy. I wouldn't hate throwing a little money
I wouldn't put no money on Dak in the Cowboys.
No, but the Rams, 300-1, put $10 on it. Does that win you three G's?
Hmm?
I don't know. That's kind of crazy. The Lions landed on here with Jahmyr Gibbs.
Wow.
400-1. The Lions have good. The Lions are at 125 with Goff. I think the reality there is a quarterback wins the award. So if you want to chase that running back money, good for you. I did talk to Mike Beasley yesterday. We're going to book him for the last hour of Friday's show to give us Tour de France picks.
All right.
I think it's perfect.
Actually, we can give him the whole last 2 hours.
Maybe we just bring him in for the whole show.
Yeah.
Landfill, are you cool if Bees hosts the last 2 hours on Friday?
Give them all four.
Yeah, I'm not going to be here. I don't mind it.
Here's what we will do. Caller number 9-800-636-1067. You'll win a pair of tickets to see Adam Sandler, You're My Best Friend tour, Saturday, September 27th at Capital One Arena. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/event. Nothing's happening. Call now, get the tickets. We'll be right back. B. Mitchell.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Finley 1067 the Vamp. We got some breaking news. We got the Commanders have announced training camp dates when fans can go. We're going to get into all that, tell you the best times to go, what you should try to hit. Before we go there, though, our friend Mr. Neil Greenberg. Greenberg, appreciate you making time for us on a week where nobody has any time for us. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I always have time for you and my podcast.
This is now the Neil Greenberg podcast via the B. Mitch and Finley program for the next half hour. What's up, man? What are you? You are an interesting cat. Your brain always goes different places. What are you working on right now?
I am working on NFL alt win totals.
I love that.
All right.
I mean, speak my language. Gambling, football.
What's the number for the NFC East? You got to that yet?
I bet a couple of alt totals this morning. I bet the Steelers under 8.5 at +100. I bet the Vikings under 8.5.
Let's start there. Oh. Steelers under 8.5.
Yeah.
You're not buying what they're selling up there, huh?
No, I'm not. I think this is it. I think we know what Aaron Rodgers is at this point, and that's a declining quarterback. I think the Steelers have done a lot with a little. I think Mike Tomlin has had an extraordinary run. I'm not buying into it, especially not at plus money. So I think that the Steelers are going to be under 500, and I want to put my money where my mouth is.
Did we lose Neil?
No.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Sorry, dude. That would be the first time ever for Tomlin to go under 500. I tell you what's crazy, though, B. Yesterday we had our friend Alan Saunders on that covers the Steelers, and he sounded like sort of optimistic but also sort of confused by like a very un-Pittsburghian offseason. If you want to listen to that interview with Alan, check it out wherever you get podcasts, Spotify, or whatever.
What I heard from Alan yesterday, Alan knows there's going to be some issues, but Alan was trying to be positive. That's what I heard from Alan yesterday.
Yeah. But, dude, so Greenberg, B and I were in Erie freaking Pennsylvania for a couple days.
I think that's a road trip movie waiting to happen.
Nah, it won't be happening in Erie.
Nah, man. That's my first and only trip to Erie. It could happen in Erie
at this time of the year. But it will never happen anywhere at the end of September on.
Nah. I left hand up. I don't think I'm ever going back to Erie, period. but we were in Steelers country. A lot of folks up there seem frustrated with Mike Tomlin, which I get it. Bobby Bowden got fired. Like, you know, people get fired eventually. But Tomlin's a G as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually, here's a little peek behind the curtain, another story I'm working on. I'm working on coaches on the hot seat, and I have Tomlin on the hottest seat of 2025.
Really?
I think he's the most likely coach to get fired. Yeah.
So they bring in Aaron Rodgers knowing he's going to screw things up so they can have a reason to fire him?
I think it's more like a Hail Mary. Like, this is our chance to actually, you know, this is our best chance to win a playoff game. It's not that Tomlin has a poor-ish regular season. It's just they haven't won a playoff game since, what, 2016, 2017? Mm-hmm. Wild card flame outs if they make the playoffs at all. I think at some point you have to pull the plug on that. Being over 500 is okay, but let's face it. I mean, you're not going to be taken seriously in the NFL landscape if you're not going to be a playoff threat. And I think that this is just a Hail Mary type thing. You get a guy like Rodgers in. There's a lot of good feelings about the trades that they made, getting Jalen Ramsey and Jono Smith. But I just think that this is the end of the line, and I'm always willing to zag when other people are zigging.
Hey, man, me and you both. Jeff had the ultimate zig yesterday. He thinks A.J. Johnson of the Wizards is going to be a Supermax player. All right, so let's keep this going. We're talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here on the Rude Guest Hotline.
Yeah.
Fair counter.
Nobody else knows who he is.
Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Of course, you can read all of Greenberg's work at the Washington Post. Listen to his podcast right here on B. Mitch and Finley every Wednesday at 11. All right, so you're fading the Steelers. Who's the next fade?
Vikings under 8.5 plus 140.
Why? I like JJ.
I'm not a big believer in the Vikings. I think they've gotten very fortunate over the past couple of years. They're in a really tough division with Detroit, Green Bay, Chicago will be better. I just think that, you know, you look at Minnesota and they're not a 14-win team. I mean, I know they won 14 games, but they're
with
just
Sam
not
Dunn.
Yeah, they're just not they don't worry me. And like I said, a better division, a little bit less fortunate bounces. I think it's a great price for them to be under 8.5 plus 140. I'm more than willing to take that risk reward proposition.
You don't buy that the defense could stay really good?
I'm not necessarily worried about the defense. I'm worried about the division. I'm worried about, you know, how are they going to keep pace in a division that one of the teams got a lot better, another team, you know, was a Super Bowl contender, and then I think Green Bay gets a little bit better with Jordan Love getting an extra year of work. So I just think it's going to be tougher for them to excel being in that division.
And we look at J.J., you like J.J., I like J.J., but still it's going to be his first time going out there really playing football for a whole year in the NFL.
Yeah.
And it's he's going to be basically having his rookie season this year.
And they got some tough, you know, they got some tough games, you know, outside of the division. They got to play Philadelphia. They got to play Baltimore. They got to play the Commanders. I mean, you know, those aren't give-me's. You know, the Commanders aren't a give-me anymore. Philadelphia obviously is very good, and Baltimore is very good. So when you look at the division and just those three games in general, you know, that's a tough slate of games to have to deal with. I think that it's okay to be pessimistic with Minnesota.
Interesting. All right, you got any overs? Any overs?
I do. Yet?
Okay.
Just one. Giants over 5.5 at plus 118. I think this is strictly the NFL has parity. I think that the Giants, the worst teams in football really shouldn't lose more than like four games, maybe five games. So you only really just need like one weird game for them to swing it to this bet's favor. I know a lot of people are down on them. I know that they're not a very good football team, but even non-good football teams tend to win four or five games, and I think the Giants could be one of those. At least I'm willing to take some plus money to worry about it.
Okay.
Where are the Commanders sitting?
I look for value on the Commanders, and I just couldn't find value. I'm not saying that they're not going to be,
I'm trying to make money.
Right? Yeah, but I have Washington, probably winning 9 or 10 games next year, and we've talked about this before. You know, I think a 10-win season against the schedule that they have would be an improvement over last year. I know it's not going to be an improvement in the win column, but I think overall as a team, if they can win 10 games against this schedule, I think that is a step forward based on what they did last year.
Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here on the Rude Guest Hotline. When do you start looking at like fantasy numbers and player props for the seasons and everything?
Yeah, I'm looking at those now, actually. I'm starting to get my fantasy stuff together. If you look right now, wide receivers are very, very popular in the first round of point per reception leagues. There could be as many as 5 or 6 going in the first round alone. I think that that's bold. I think that that's aggressive. The drop-off in running backs is tremendous in terms of, you know, who you can rely on to get the ball and be a part of the offense. And then once you get past those, going into the committee roles and touchdown vultures and things like that. So I personally think guys like Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs are the plays. I'm down on Saquon Barkley. I'm down on Christian McCaffrey. I'm down on Derrick Henry. But I think that you're better off going for some running backs early and then supplementing with some wide receivers later.
Mm. Where are you with the Niners in general?
I have the Niners as having the best chance to go from worst to first in their division. I don't think that that's necessarily a secret. I like them as a whole. I am worried that McCaffrey, how healthy is McCaffrey going to be? And that's another division that had a lot of parity last year, right? 10 wins won the division. San Francisco had 6 wins with a lot of injury concerns. So I think if they're healthy, they're going to be fine. That's a big if, though. I mean, Christian McCaffrey has shown that he can miss some time. And then the offense just kind of seems to fall apart there. So I think that San Francisco should be considered a divisional winning threat. I mean, that's certainly the case. I don't think that they're going to be a Super Bowl contender like most people, including my in-laws who are from the Bay Area. And if they're listening, I'm going to be in some trouble. But I think that San Francisco is a playoff contender. And we'll have to see how their health is before I can pencil them in
any
further.
How much longer does their window stay open, though?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I think only a year, maybe two, right? Because, you know, kind of just talked about it. If McCaffrey is brittle, and if the defense, if the offense suffers more because of no Deebo Samuel, and if Brock Purdy takes any sort of step back, like, those are three huge elements, three huge dominoes that can really hurt the offense. And then you're relying a lot on the defense, but we know in today's NFL, offense carries a lot of the freight. So I think those are three significant touchstones that they're going to have to navigate in order to remain competitive, not only in the division, but, you know, in the league at large.
Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Of course, you can follow Greenberg at N Greenberg and read his work in the Washington Post. Can we switch to baseball real quick?
Sure.
Tigers are in town. The Nats are just falling apart, frankly. Tigers are awesome. And the kid Scooble they have is awesome. I assume he is very much the front runner for the Cy Young in the AL. Is it too much to say he's the best pitcher in the majors, even knowing Paul Skenes is out there and others?
I think you can make a case for it. I certainly think that he is going to be the Cy Young. I mean, he's certainly the Cy Young favorite right now. He's just really good. I mean, you know, kind of flashes of Greg Maddux there. He's just, just dominating in terms of wins above replacement, not just among pitchers, but like on the overall, on the overall depth chart in terms of, you know, most valuable players. He's fourth behind Judge, Raleigh, and Otani in that regard. Anytime you have a pitcher that's kind of in the MVP conversation, you know, you got to take notice. But yeah, I think that he's probably the best pitcher in the majors right now, certainly in the American League. And, you know, Skeens is kind of in a three-way race, I think, with Logan Webb and Zach Wheeler for best pitcher in the NL. I don't think the second-year guy in Pittsburgh is a lock for the Cy Young in the NL either. So, yeah, I think you got to give it to Skubal.
And then I wanted to ask, the Mets – I take great pleasure in the Mets falling apart, largely because I have so many Mets fan friends. The Mets are kind of falling apart. 3-7 in their last 10. Get us up to speed.
I don't think falling apart's the right term. They're just imploding into a dumpster fire on the Hindenburg. I mean, they are.
Damn.
I mean, it's bad. I mean, they're just getting destroyed, right? I mean, the last three games.
They just got swept
Pittsburgh.
By the Pirates.
But not only swept, I mean, they were decimated. They couldn't get any offense going. You know, there's a lot of worries about Soto, but that worry obviously was misplaced. You got to worry about everything else. You know, and I liken this to kind of the Braves of the 90s, you know, and how that pitching rotation was structured. You know, it was structured in a way that you didn't have those type of stretches, right? Like, they didn't lose many series. They certainly didn't have many back-to-back losing games with the trio of Maddux, Smoltz, and Glavine. You know, the Mets don't have that. They're built largely on offense. They have a decent rotation, but, you know, certainly not a powerhouse rotation by any stretch. And if the offense goes cold, like, they have nothing to back it up. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a dismal – since, what, the middle of June, like, the Mets have just been absolutely awful. And, you know, these games count. They're two games behind Philadelphia right now. They could be in a lot of trouble if they don't figure it out very soon. But so far, they have looked just absolutely terrible.
It's
White Brian over there crying now.
White Brian just texted us. They were outscored 20-4.
Isn't that your team, Brian?
A three-game series by
That's
the
That's your team, right?
Yeah. I'd rather you, like, mishandle my walk-up song than keep repeating that stat.
Are the Cubs for real?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're seeing a lot of real teams. I mean, obviously Detroit, Chicago Cubs. I mean, there's no real division races right now, right? The only division races are in the
AL East. NL is kind of there.
East, and maybe the Central, right? But the rest of them are all locked up. Yeah, I think Chicago is pretty good. I actually like St. Louis. I know that they're not, you know, they seem to be a little bit behind. But I think St. Louis can be sneaky good and start to crawl back in here. But, yeah, I think that Chicago is for real.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a long season that we're just crossed halfway, right? Like, a lot can obviously happen. I think baseball – I don't say this lightly because I think they were so dumb for so long, but I think baseball with the expanded wild cards, I think the pitch clock above everything, I think baseball has made such good rule changes over the last decade that have really, really helped the sport.
Well, it's made it more watchable, right? I mean, it's made it more watchable and it's kept teams in contention longer. So you put those two things together and you start to engage the fans longer and more broadly, right? Like they're not completely scoffing at watching a game because they don't have to invest 3.5 hours, and you know they can root for their team a little bit longer. They don't have to worry about looking towards the winner earlier and earlier. So yeah, I agree with you. I think baseball is trying to become relevant, and really their only competition right now is the WNBA. So they should be able to get a lion's share of the viewers because of how popular baseball is across a wide range of demographics.
And then quickly, cap stuff. Ferravari gets a big deal. They have lost some guys. They lost Lars Eller, right, among others. What do you think of the Caps offseason so far?
I think it's been good. I think they drafted a lot of guys with upside. Their most recent first-round pick, I think, could be a good depth player in Washington with the pro club. I do think they have a glut at winger. You'd like to see him be a little bit, you know, use his size a little bit more. I think the trades that they made were good. You know, they're certainly trying to keep the window open with Ovechkin on possibly his last year. So yeah, I think Washington has done pretty well considering. I think next year is going to be the big year with so much money available and perhaps a really big hole in their lineup to fill if Ovechkin does hang it up. But yeah, I think Washington's done really well. I like their draft a lot. I think they've made some smart moves in free agency, and you know, they're just trying to figure out what life's going to be like once number 8 hangs them up.
Greenberg, thank you as always for the time. Have a great 4th of July weekend, man.
Enjoy yourself, man.
You too. Be safe. Don't blow off any fingers.
It's a good idea. Yep. Thank you, buddy.
I'll try not to.
All right. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
That's our boy, Neil Greenberg. You can follow him.
Blow off somebody else's fingers, not my mind.
He's trying to blow up people's fingers. You can follow Neil at N Greenberg. When we come back, I imagine they're among the last teams to do this, if not the last team. The Commanders have announced their open dates for fans to come to training camp. We'll tell you when they are and how many there are. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Finley. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We got news. We got news and we got a report. Got actual news. Commanders have announced training camp dates open to fans. And we got a report about alternate uniforms, when they'll be released, including a new alternate helmet. Let's start with the news. The Commanders sent out an email. This is official, baby. Listen to this, B, and tell me the salespeople aren't moving the unit over there. Washington Commanders 2025 training camp, supported by Cornerstone Partners, Bank of America, Clark Construction, and Pepsi, to be held at Ortho Virginia Training Center at Commanders Park in Ashburn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading four different sponsors for training camp.
In one release.
And that's before you get to the specific days.
That just tell you people were not dealing with the other dude.
Doesn't hurt when you get a star quarterback either.
Mm-hmm.
The Commanders will host 3 open practices for all fans and 3 additional open practices for season ticket members from July 27th to August 4th. Fans can claim their free tickets now, today, right now. If you go to the website, I think you can get tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening to us and you want to go, you better go.
Go get them now.
This is,
don't call us later.
There's not a lot of them. So, all right, here's where this thing lands. 3 open practices for all fans. Anybody can go. July 27th, July 29th, and August 2nd. That is 3 dates early
on.
None
of the rookie camps.
What's that?
The rookie stuff gets no one. They go at 18th.
Yeah. This will be the full team.
Yeah.
3 open practices, the 27th, the 29th of July, and August 2nd. Then there are 3 practices exclusively for season ticket members in select membership types on July 28th, July 31st, and August 4th. All practices will begin at 9 a.m. and are subject to change. You can get the tickets now. So seriously, if you're looking for tickets, you can get them right now.
Yep.
In an effort to accommodate as many fans as possible, fans can claim a maximum of 6 tickets and 1 parking pass for 1 day of training camp. All parking will be on site, and all fans must have a parking pass to access the lot. Gates will open at 8 a.m. Parking lots open at 7:30 a.m.
Right.
There will also be an open practice with the Patriots 10:15 a.m. on August 6th in Foxborough, Massachusetts. If you want to go to that, check out the Patriots website. Mm. Here are the specialty days. July 27th is back together weekend. That one is open to all fans. That's the first open practice, Sunday, July 27th. The team will host various family-friendly activations, including the Commander's Kid Zone, Washington Legends meet and greets, appearances by Major Tutty, the Command Force, giveaways, and much more. I'm guessing there might be a check coming for one Washington Legend sharing the prison cell studio. Sign some autographs?
Always sign.
You do. You always sign. Kids Day will be Sunday, August 2nd. The Commanders will host a kid zone dedicated to children's activities.
You see a lot of smiles that day.
That's a fun one. Yeah. Including Play 60 activations, face painting, and balloon artists. My kids love balloon artists and face painting. Then you've got Military Appreciation Day, presented by USAA. Now, this is not among the other six, I believe.
So it's like extras?
Military Appreciation Day is Sunday, August 10th. I'm curious. All right, so the Washington Salute, the official military appreciation club of the Washington Commanders, will invite thousands of local service members, veterans, and their families to Ashburn for an exclusive day at training camp on Sunday, August 10th.
All right.
So that's cool. At least military day is also one of the other
days. Multiple days for different people. Not, I think that's what it seems like.
Of the season ticket membership days, Ultra membership is Monday, July 28th. Business network membership is Thursday, July 31st. And friends and family membership is Monday, August 4th. I guess if you are a season ticket member, you will get a specific email about how to claim your ticket.
Mm-hmm. Right, I already got them.
Yeah, let's do this live. Jeff, put your headphones on. See, go to Commanders. See if you can get tickets for any of the three open days right now. Commanders.com/training camp. This opened at 11 a.m. I got the press release at 11 a.m. My guess is these joints are sold out already. It's 11:38 a.m. I want to open the phone lines up. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Commanders have announced their training camp dates. Three practices open to everybody. Three open to season ticket members. A separate practice will be open for military. And then if you want, or if you live in the New England area, you might be able to go watch the practice against the Patriots. Jeff, once you get on there, let me know how it's going. Can we get tickets? Where are you, Jeff?
Right now, I'm proving that I'm not a robot.
Okay. Well, I have questions about that.
See, I can see Jeff as an alien, not a robot. There's not a computer program in the mind.
There are actually
alien
tickets left.
Okay, great.
He's a robotic
alien. Especially for opening weekend.
Okay, great. So there's still tickets available. Phone lines are open, 800-636-1067. I have my thoughts. I'll let you open, B. Three practices open to the public, three for season ticket members, and that's it.
I'm cool with that. I mean, they had to get ready for a football game. Get ready for football season.
When you were doing camp, how much of it was Carlisle was always open, wasn't it?
I don't think it was open every practice. But, you know, you had fans around. But, I mean, I guess, listen, you know me. I believe training camp should be away. I just think there's something special that happens when you're away from being able to go home and be around your people all the time. I just believe that.
So, the Commanders are towards the bottom of what teams do now, but they're not at the bottom. I believe the Eagles only have one. Let's
they won the Super Bowl last
load
year.
These
they
phones up if we can, Jeff. I think there's a lot of ways to do this, a lot of ways to handle it. I think if it was up to Dan Quinn, they would go away. He has said that repeatedly.
I'm with you on that one, Dan.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think they would get more out of going away. I think some fans will be frustrated they can't go to every or more. I hope the fans.
The thing, though, is like, why does anyone need to be at every practice? But the only people that need to be at every practice is the players.
So I have a number of reactions, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think for some fans, getting to training camp, because it's free, is their only opportunity, right? I think the barrier to entry.
You know, Jay, I hear that, but I go to training camp and I see the people that I see at every damn thing.
Well, those are hardcore fans,
but
too, right?
But they're there all the time, the same people. So it's not necessarily the guys that just could go free that's going there.
I think it's a mix. I think there are some fans that go to everything, period, and they would go to more practices. I think there are some people that go because they can take their kids and it's free and they can't necessarily do it for a game. I think there are some people that go just to get autographs. I think
I see a lot of them.
I think there are some people that go because it's a more laid-back atmosphere. It's very different than a game. I know a number of things because I've been going to these training camps forever. In Richmond, it was always open. At various times in Ashburn, it's been open.
But Ashburn, it is so congested when you have fans out there.
It really is.
That they can't just do it all the time.
I think especially they have so much construction going on out there that sources have told me that they're going to have it all done for camp. But I also know in construction, sometimes things go longer.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes things change, right? We don't know what that's going to look like, but it sure looks like they'll have it all done. But to have fans there with construction going on is just a lot. And, yeah, they have a lot of parking in that grass area. But at the same time, man, it does get really congested. I think the players enjoy it. But I think if I had to really guess, not that DQ doesn't love having players there, fans at camp, I think they like to focus on the football.
Yeah.
And when the fans are there, I am zero surprised that as training camp goes on and it gets into real installations and the depth chart starts kind of working its way out, that it's all done.
Because, you know, they can control the media posting stuff. They can't control those fans posting stuff. And, you know, every fan wants to be the content creator now. And they're out there showing everything going on. So if you have to control it some type of way, you have to just not allow everyone out there.
And I would also add, I don't know if you agree with this, but the amount of season ticket memberships that are now available,
mm-hmm.
like it's not necessarily that cost prohibitive to be a season ticket member in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, dude, when they had everything open, now granted they didn't have much infrastructure, and this was a couple years ago during the real darkest days of the organization,
mm-hmm.
it was empty. It was empty, man. And it was such a bad look. I remember Nicky Jabala took a picture that went super viral of just the sidelines being butt empty. Now, this was the end of the Dan days, the Ron days. You know, you're trying to roll out. I don't even know who it would have been at that point. Like Heinicke or Wentz or whoever. Like, there just wasn't much excitement. This year, there is a ton of excitement. But you create more excitement by having a finite product. And
100%.
I am not surprised. I kind of, when everybody else had been announcing their dates and Washington was kind of holding off, I kind of thought they were holding off to, like, not keep it under the radar, but, like, when you're only announcing three true open to the public days, you might not want to go first.
Yeah.
Let the Cowboys say all 17 are open.
Hey, man.
We're going to look around the league how this compares.
I ultimately care about how they perform when they get on the field.
I know that that's where you land. Yeah. I don't know that that's where everybody lands.
Everybody don't have to land there.
We'll be right back. It's B. Mitchell Finley. Shout out to Axl Rose. All right. Commanders will have three practices open to the public and another three training camp practices open to season ticket members. Landville, what do you think?
They should have more.
Would you go?
Are you going to go to any of them?
Oh, absolutely not.
Until you go, then we don't need you to be telling us what they need more of.
I think Landville speaks for the people. I think there are people that wish there were more. Now, apparently, they're unable to call in right now because I would take their call. Looking around the league, the Commanders are definitely towards the bottom in open practices. That doesn't – they're not at the bottom, though, because Philly does one.
Okay.
I just did
– Philly used to do a lot when I was there, too.
Broncos will have 13 open practices. The Saints will have 9 practices before they go to California. The Bengals will hold 8 practices. The Cowboys have everything open, but they're also in Southern California. So, like, are you really serving your fans with that?
Nope.
They're
getting all the people that are outside of their area and trying to just make some other money. That's what they're doing with Jerry.
Well, I think they also like the weather. But, yeah, sure. Jerry's making them a national team. The Falcons will have 11 practices open during training camp. I think less is more, dude, honestly. I think create scarcity, make it a big deal, make it more fun. I recognize that maybe some fans won't be able to get there, but if you're listening to us, Jeff just tried, and you could get tickets.
Yeah.
I think let us know how you think. 3 open practices. You can get tickets right now. I imagine they'll be gone pretty quick, but I think for football operations, it's better, honestly.
But
I think for straight football, it's better.
As far as not having a lot of people there?
Yeah.
I mean, but the whole thing about it, I understand people want more, but you have them at every practice. Some people want to be at every practice. Some people want to be in the damn meetings. You can't do it.
You definitely can't do that.
You got to eventually get to a point where you focus on just getting ready for football.
I agree, man. You do have to get a ticket off the website. And, hell, you can go to Boston if you want. Watch practice up there. I don't know that people will do that, but you could.
Oh, there's going to be some people on the road. They'll be happy to do that.
Well, dude, there's also just fans in New England. There's Commanders fans up there.
Yeah.
Chris is in Culpeper. Chris, what do you think about the training camp schedule, dude?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Not much.
Great topic. Just thinking about it. Everybody's getting together. It's so hot outside. I think they're trying to cut it back a little bit just to be on the safe side. Just extreme heat, I could see why they could do that a little bit. But it's not as good for the fans because they want to be out there more. So I can understand that a little bit. But I also wanted to let you guys know this. Just saw it on Reddit. July 9th, we were releasing our new jersey and helmet. You can see it. They just put it out there, sent everything to my son and let him know. So I just wanted to let y'all know about that as well. I'm so excited. Thank you.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, buddy. I think that's totally fair. Dude, here's the good news. Back in the day when things were awful, the marketing department had far too much say over the football department. That is not the case now.
Yep.
More practices is not necessarily good for the team. Now, we do also have uniform news. You'll hear that when we return. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
High noon in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. Interesting stuff out there regarding Commanders to unveil a new alternate uniform, which will include a helmet, a new helmet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is a big surprise, honestly.
Well, you said it already.
Josh Harris, when they did their end-of-the-season wrap-up in early February after the NFC Championship loss, came out and said, I think the owner has been very clear that the name is not changing. I think folks got to understand that and get past it. He said the Commander's name means something in our building now. You've heard DQ, AP say that. Players, if you're a 21-year-old kid that just got drafted to Washington, I mean, you probably don't even remember a lot of this stuff. Like, that's just the reality. They're just here
to play. It didn't happen yesterday. Most of these guys that they don't know.
Right. I mean, it was 2019.
Yeah.
6 years ago, dude. But back in February, Josh Harris said, as far as rebranding and bringing our past, which obviously I grew up with, all the Super Bowl championships, and our future together, you're going to see us head back towards honoring our past and bringing it together with our future.
Mm-hmm.
News has emerged from sportslogos.net, which I think is on top of this sort of stuff, that the Commanders will unveil these jerseys July 9th, which is what, a week from today? So next Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Folks will be fired up about that.
We know.
I will be fired up to be on vacation.
I'm coming to work in my jersey.
This one. Do you not have any old jerseys?
I do. I have old jerseys and I have some new jerseys.
So just wear the old ones. And that's what the new alter is probably going to look just like
I was wearing. I just said I'm coming to work in my jersey. You'll be surprised if I pop up with a B-Miss jersey.
He won't.
I don't think you have a B-Miss.
You didn't know who B-Miss was when you started working with him. So you damn sure don't
but
have
I
one
learned.
There.
You can't tell me look in the past and then when I finally embrace it, you get
well,
mad at
it's kind of hard
me.
To get one, so I'm not getting mad. They don't mad about it. I'm just saying you don't have one.
Matter of fact, how much for one of your jerseys? Let's bid right now.
Off of my wall?
Yep.
Oh, man, you got to start about 8,000.
I was going to say 10.
No, I'm going to start them at, you know, I like to just build it up a little bit.
So the biggest thing that's going to, I think, come from this is what, if anything, will they do with the helmet? Because I think these new alternates are just going to look like the old dope uniforms. And I've been pretty clear. I don't really like the new uniforms. I think they bastardize the colors. I kind of like the black ones. It's just something different. I'd love to keep the black ones and just go back to the old classic ones. But they're going to keep these and then reintroduce the old one, basically. I don't know. I wonder, B, because it's one uniform, if they roll out the old burgundy. Personally, I'd rather them roll out the old white. Because I think the current burgundy and gold Commanders jerseys, I don't mind. I think the white ones look like a Louisville Cardinal alternate jersey. Like they
I used to like the white with the burgundy pants back in the day.
Yeah, that you
That's
guys
what
wore.
I loved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big debate, I guess. The big debate is what the new alternate helmet will look like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you agree. I'm curious. I do not think they're going to put the old logo on a helmet. Do you?
No. I don't think that's happening.
I don't either. Now, there's a lot of talk about maybe the spear, like a spear. Maybe it's not that spear.
And I think that's, you keep hearing that pop up, you know. That could be something.
Well, as you watch some of the social media stuff they've rolled out, like officially the team, it seemed like, so when they did their gladiator shoot, they do a big photo shoot for the whole team. Mm-hmm. Everybody comes in, and enough of those pictures have emerged, and there's one with Jaden holding a spear.
I was there that day.
Right. The motif, if you will, to me, looked like Roman, like gladiators, like the Colosseum. Everything was in the Roman numerals.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what Russell Crowe had in Gladiator?
A spear.
A spear.
Yeah.
So I think you can get to a place where maybe there's a spear, and maybe that really ties things back to what, you know, I think Sonny Jurgensen wore a spear helmet. I remember the throwbacks when Daryl Green was wearing it. Like, if you can get to a spear helmet, and you make clear that this is the Commander's spear, this is not tied to Native American folklore, I think you can land in that space, and I think folks will be thrilled in that space.
I agree.
And I think you got smart people running things. If the five of us could sit here and kind of figure that out, I think the really highly paid professionals could figure this out.
Yeah.
They're not going to roll out a new version of the W. I know that much.
Nah.
Saeed is on the line. Saeed, you fired up about training camp and uniforms?
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. And I think there's two really important things to note about that is that, number one, a lot of teams, they just open the gates and you bring your chair in and you sit on the sidelines and you watch the, you know, players train. Like, at least the Commanders go all out and they make it like a festival. They have activities and things like that. So I think that's what really makes it cool. And then the second thing is, I still have PTSD when, like, B. Mitch had to tell us, don't worry, when Rivera's team gets to the regular season, it won't look like practice, because we'd come into practices and we'd be like, this is horrible. And we'd try to, you know, look at all the different plays saying, this must be really vanilla, vanilla, vanilla. I'd much rather we get to see them 3-4 times, let them practice their hardest where we're not there and practice all the plays and not be all vanilla, than for us to have access every single day. Let them do what they do behind the scenes, and then we get to see amazing stuff on Sundays. And, you know, Philly's doing it. Yeah.
All right, well, brother. That goes. Appreciate good call, that. Saeed. Thanks, dude. I agree. I think there's definitely a reason. Phone lines are open. 800-636-1067. What'd you say?
Doesn't Ahmed have a cousin named Saeed? And he's a fan, too.
He has a... He may. I know he has a cousin named Samir.
I know Samir. Yes, yeah. Right. Samir. It's hard to S.
I definitely don't think it's a coincidence that all of the open practices are very early in camp. Because early on, you're not putting in third down red zone, right? And that doesn't mean they won't run red zone drills and 2-minute drills and all that stuff, but like,
I know. I see where you're coming from.
I think early on, okay, we got fans here. They can post videos whenever they want. Cool. But I think there'll be a lot. These dudes are about football. And I think.
And I love it.
I got a guy arguing with me on Twitter that I don't. So.
He's banning.
I'm happy to engage. I don't agree with this dude. He says, DQ can hate fans and fan days all he wants. Without fans, there is no football. Days, like you said, you could go. Nobody hates fans, dude. That's not what this is about.
That dude is an absolute idiot that you're talking to right there. Nobody said anybody hate anything. But every coach, even Coach Gibbs, did not want fans around. Coach Gibbs thought everybody was giving away the secrets. You know what I'm saying? And you just got to get rid of it.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I'm going to take line one. There we go. D is in D.C. D, what do you think about training camp and maybe some new unis?
B. Mitch Finley, what up, what up, what up?
What's up, man? Brother?
Hey, man, I was just thinking, like, we got the old Warriors crew in here on this marketing thing here. So, like, Golden State Warriors. So their whole rebrand was – little people know that they used to be like Native American tied as well. And they changing it up to this bleak little, just, you know, Warriors W and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's a little bleak to me going the Roman numerals and Roman background, but, you know, hopefully we can get Terry signed before training camp and, you know, my mind will be at ease. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Thanks, dude. Terry signing is far more important. Yeah. Andre's in Alexandria. What up, Dre?
Hey, how you doing, guys? B. Mitch and JP.
What up, good, bud?
Before you nail me, JP, I was trying to get through with B. Mitch on you. I was talking about Debo Samuels. I couldn't get through, and I just had to. It was killing me. I had to get my opinion in. And B. Mitch is a competitive guy, just like Debo Samuel is. Now, B. Mitch, if someone tells you, you fat and you out of shape, and they going to destroy, you know, B. Mitch, or they ain't got to worry about B. Mitch because he can't catch punts, he can't play running back, quarterback. The type of competitive B. Mitch is, and I believe Samuel's the same, they going to do everything they can to shut your mouth and embarrass you when you disrespected them. So all those Eagle fans that's talking all that.
All right, Dre, that's all well and good. What do you think of 3 training camp practices?
I could care less. It don't matter what the fans think. It just matters what the team do when they get out there. So the fans doesn't
Amen.
Really matter to me.
Thank you for that.
Thank you for the call, bud.
I'm a ball player myself, B. Mitch.
All right, brother. Appreciate it.
Our boy Los from Severna Park. Los, what do you think about camp and unis?
Unis, I can't wait, even though I got like all kinds of Redskins Commanders uniforms and all that. Training camp, I got tickets for the public. I got tickets for the 27th of July, but I'm nervous because, like, I want to go to the military one, last year we were waiting on an email, but email never got out. So I can't wait for that one. I'm nervous, but I'm excited, man. Listen, anything to get the fans riled up, give the people what they want. They want this. I don't care. Let's just go out and have fun.
The people want a winning team, don't they, Los?
Amen. Winning team.
Let's give them that.
Finally got it.
Yeah, let's keep giving them that. I guarantee they'll be a lot happier.
Says, I'm there too.
Right, let them come to all practices and don't win. See what the hell they say.
We saw that for a while. Thank you, Los. Appreciate you, buddy. Yep. Hey, Los, you still there?
Yeah, yeah.
How many Skins/Commanders jerseys do you own?
Ooh, okay, well, listen, I think I got like 7 Sean Taylor jerseys by itself. Hey. Yeah, 7 Sean Taylor ones.
7 Sean Taylor jerseys?
Yeah, yeah. So there's the burgundy and gold Sean Taylor, the military Sean Taylor, the alternative Sean Taylor. What else? I got the shadow Sean Taylor. I don't got a Commanders Sean Taylor one. And then I know there's one more. Oh, the old mustard Sean Taylor one as well. So
that's a lot.
Yeah, right. Sean Taylor. The next one is going to be Jane Daniels. Believe that.
All right. There you go. Thank you, Los. Take care, buddy. Let's try Elijah. Elijah, you good with the training camp uniform news?
Hey, man, I'm good with it. Hey, man, they know what they're doing. Based off of last year, I feel like at this point, there's not too many things that we can question or how they're moving into the season, different things that they're moves that they're making. We just got to sit back and be happy, man. Whatever we get, I'd rather, like Main Man said a few calls ago, I'd rather get one practice if they're going to say, man, we trying to get this trophy. We need y'all to go home so we can get down to business. And if you can't get behind that, then you're not really down with the squad, right? So I'm happy they got everything going right. Debo going to look good, man. No, I don't think there's going to be an underneath defender or linebacker or very small crew of linebackers that are going to be able to handle him and stick with him and turn their hips and follow him up the seam. And a lot of these stuff is fear-based. Look at the tape. You saw what he did to Philly. Let the big boys start mixing and meshing and got offensive linemen running this way, offensive linemen running that way. Okay, we see you soon. We all right. So, man, we in good shape, y'all. You know all right, what time brother. It is.
That's appreciate you, Elijah. Eric in Fairfax. What's up, E?
Hey, thanks for taking the call here. So I think I speak for most like Redskins fans when we said like when the rebrand happened, it was like we were so frustrated because it was the most botched, like easiest rebrand they could have done, but they made it like everything that could have gone wrong, they did. And so what I mean by that is most of us all know that the Redskin name is not coming back. We're kind of past that. But, like, we're angry that the rebrand kind of made us look like a totally, like, new team, a new franchise. And so it's like we're all screaming, like, just come up with a name that starts with, the letter R. So you still have the cursive R helmet or logo, as well as you still have HTTR, you know, a hashtag. And it just seems like they just overhauled everything and didn't even think about that. It felt like you can, change the name but still have a homage to the old, you know, have the same uniforms, have the same colors, design, still have like the cursive R helmet, the spear, still have the HTTR. And it seems like that would have been the most easiest, smoothest rebrand. And they just totally botched it, in my opinion.
Dude,
we have a whole new team of people now. And I think we got to get past that, what they did, and worry about what the crew right now is doing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I think what Eric said is right. And I think what B said is right. Like, did they mess it up? Yes. Was that now 4 seasons ago and there's new ownership and nothing but like good things on the horizon? Yes. So I think by this group trying to bring back a classic uniform is another step in like, all right, man, let's all just move forward. What do you always say, B?
Right.
The windshield, not the rear view.
Yeah, windshield, not the rear view mirror.
Yeah, no, I fully trust, like, you know, like the previous caller said, like, I definitely trust new ownership and new management. Obviously, they can't do what the former organization or ownership and management did in the past. Like, excited to bring back, hopefully, like, those old school uniforms or the ones that were, you know, during the Snyder years. But, yeah, understand, can't go back to the old name, but just want to talk about how, you know, I think a lot of people wish just come up with any name starting with R, but, you know, excited for the new uniforms. Hopefully they look great going forward.
It's a good call, Eric. Appreciate it, man. Thanks. Let's let Tailgate Ted round us out here. Teddy, it's a big day for you. Training camp and uni talk.
Yeah, man, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. I know some fans are having a hard time claiming the passes. If you're a season ticket holder, make sure you're logged into your SeatGeek account, because that's what some of the stuff is going on to claim your spot. But, man, I'm happy with the fact that we have this many passes available for the fans, because that just means it's more time for the team to focus without us being there and do what really matters and get ready for the season. I mean, the team has stuff available for us, and they're still out there. So I agree with B. I'd rather they go out to Carlisle or someplace away from us so they can just focus on it. But I'm happy that we have enough time to go out there and actually spend time with them as well.
Yeah, man. Great call, Ted. Well said. And I know you're a dude that goes to everything. And I think the fact that there are still tickets available, like, we're now 90 minutes into this thing. That's plenty of time. In the world we live in, where everybody's on their phone all the time, they've seen a notification about this. I think. Thank you, Ted. Appreciate you, man. Have a great 4th of July.
Appreciate you, boys.
All right, brother.
You too.
Sometimes I think people just want to complain. Like, whatever the news
that's
is,
normally
whatever
what
gets
is.
Announced, they're just mad about something. I did want to circle back to something Landfill wrote on the show sheet, B. When we return, is tomato soup stupid? Nobody go anywhere. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Fired up. Nats daytime baseball is coming in just a few minutes. I saw Vic Ferreira is here, which means the Nats are on. Who's pitching today, White Brian? Can you find that out for me? I want the pitching matchup. I also found out some information last night, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the people that work between 106.7 and 980, who do you think is most fit to be a fraternity advisor?
All the people that work. Fraternity advisor. None of them.
What if I told you the one dude I know of, maybe there's more, but I know of one. Guess who the Phi Sigma Kappa fraternity advisor is at American University?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Russell. Landfill, how do you feel about Rooster guiding America's youth?
That's horrifying.
That's facts. Chris Russell, fraternity advisor to Phi Sig Cap at AU. Hopefully that's public news.
Did they lose a bet?
I don't know. What kind of advice do you think Roos gives them about entering the workforce and then complaining about having to work when days are scheduled? How do you think that goes, B? All right, men. Someday you're going to have a job, and then you got to complain about it endlessly.
We got to get Rooster to stroll for us.
Do you think Rooster has a fraternity dance, B?
I would love to see it if he does. Nah, that's not a fraternity dance right there, Rooster. I don't know what the hell that
is. That's what strolling is.
No, not that.
What he's currently doing is not that. If you're on the stream, do it again. Do it again, Roost. White Brian, make sure you get this for the people. That's the official Phi Sigma Kappa dance.
We're doomed. We're done.
It can't
it's
be.
Over.
I'm gonna try to. We're trying to brainstorm for tomorrow's 4-hour radio program on July 3rd when this city's gonna be a complete ghost town. Chris, are you available to join us tomorrow?
I am.
How about 12:30 all the way to 1 o'clock?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Great. Landfill. 12:30 to 1 is booked.
Brad gave me clearance.
Terrific. You have to get clear. You have to get.
First thing he said. Because JP's looking
for you. Now we're talking.
And I said, okay.
All right.
I thought he meant GP. It's JP.
That's me. We're going to figure out Chris Russell's fraternity
days.
Thought
JP was GP. That's what I heard.
One letter off, B. One letter off. Are you going to go to the Nats game, B?
Huh?
When are you leaving for Raleigh?
Later on.
What are you going to do?
What you mean? What I'm gonna do?
What is Rooster?
When you try to feel like you try to feel segments, sometimes you just ask questions that's out the blue, huh? I don't know what the hell I'm about to do. I'm probably gonna go get my club fixed.
Chris just brought in.
Chris, what you bringing in, man?
Brownies, a 15 count brownie platter fudge from Giant Food. Landfill, you excited about this? Now, Landfill, can I ask you a question? What do you think the sell-by date is on the brownie platter that Chris just brought in?
At least 6 days ago.
You're saying yesterday, Brian? Yeah. Today is July 2nd, correct?
Yeah.
How many days in June? 30 or 31? These brownies expired on June 30th. So
they did not expire, first of all. Sell-by is different than use-by.
The sell-by date is June 30th, and you are presenting these
sell
to us
by
like...
Sell-by is different than use-by.
If you brought them yesterday,
by.
They sold them by the 30th.
I did bring them yesterday.
Yesterday was July 1st.
I forgot them in my car yesterday, so they were sitting in the parking garage.
So, Landfill, not only are these 2 days past their sell-by date, they've been sitting in Chris's car for the last 2 days.
Hey, Wild. Listen, you cannot accuse me of not being generous.
Hold on. I'm gonna take care of Chris on this one. You eat stuff from 7 months ago.
Oh, I'll eat these, no problem.
So exactly.
Why are you complaining
about
it?
I'm just saying.
I mean, it's like somebody complaining that they have to work football games on Christmas Day.
When did you buy these?
I bought them the other day, Monday. I didn't see the date. Sorry.
Were they on clearance because they were past their sale?
No. Monday was the 30th.
Were they on sale, Chris? Because I'll buy a manager special. I love a good manager special.
I mean, I know you do because you've sent me pictures of your manager special box.
Whoa! Hey, I have not sent you a picture of my manager special. All right, Chris.
Landfill, they send each other pictures of manager specials, man. What the hell is going on here?
White Brian, what's the pitching matchup today?
Tyler Holton and Trevor Williams.
Okay.
Real barn burner.
What are the... Let's make some bets. Don't we do that? Let's make some bets, even in July. Or let's turn the show off.
Yeah, I'm not making no bet.
I think I won yesterday. Did I win yesterday, Brian?
Nope.
Yeah.
Bang.
You just say, yeah. He don't know who won.
Thank you to everybody.
Who the hell did he bet on?
I bet on the Pirates.
I won yesterday, too, then.
Thank you to Jack Smith for joining us today. Thank you to Neil Greenberg for joining us today. Thank you to anybody who called in. We're on tomorrow. It's going to be a barn burner. Go Nats. Game starts here in just a minute. Thanks for listening. It's B. Mitchell Finley. If you made it this far, Jeff owes you a beer. Rooster owes you old brownies.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.